So there's been a lot going on, right? Some announcements this morning, a lot happening. A lot happened yesterday as well. But sometimes you just can't help but feel like a second-class citizen. Consider the following. Our president announces by a letter posted to X that he has decided not to run for re-election for the office of president. He does so after having received millions of votes supporting his candidacy during the primary process. And then in a separate statement, he announces his support of Vice President Kamala Harris for president. So this occurs on Sunday, July 21st, around 1 p.m. or so. As of this morning, this moment, right now, this president has yet to address the nation and explain what is going on. He remains president for another 6 months. The country's curiosity is mounting. They have a desire to hear from him. How did we get to this point in time? We know that there's been an internal political tug-of-war going on amongst Democrats. On one day, they're completely trashing the Biden administration and his ability to face the day-to-day rigors of the office of president, whether or not he is cognitively there to make the decisions necessary each and every day to consume and disseminate the information that he receives. And the next day, he announces he's the most iconic president ever. He is a modern time hero. His act of getting out of the race was selfless. He's actually a patriot. But what's interesting in the light of all of this spin that's going on within the Democratic Party, he still hasn't addressed the country. How is that? And then the real irony is he found time to call in to a Harris campaign kickoff in Delaware to support and explain his thinking and the role he intends to play in governing the country and, in fact, campaigning for the VP on her quest to become the president of the United States. Telling, is it not? The country waits while the Democratic Party, the Congress and the government waits while the Democratic Party gets the attention of the party president. He talks to them, but he won't talk to us. Feel like a second-class citizen? Feels like the same approach as it relates to immigration, right? There's things that are given to those that cross the border illegally, money, phones, health care, this and otherwise. Meanwhile, struggling American citizens sit on the sidelines watching this play reveal the special privilege. Meanwhile, we have over 40 million people in this country that are suffering. Over and over and over again, we play this second-class citizen role. And it didn't end there. In fact, this same disrespect for you, me, and others in this country were exhibited by the actions of the director of the Secret Service, who attended the House Oversight Committee meeting 9 days after the assassination attempt on President Donald Trump, the killing of Corey Comparator, and the attempted murder of David Dutch and James Copenhauer. And it's almost as if this group of folks has completely and totally forgotten that one citizen was killed, two others were seriously injured, still in the hospital. And thankfully, a former president walked away with his ear being nicked, but for the grace of God. This individual shows up at this oversight committee with nada, nothing, zippo, zero, does not answer a question. Frustrating Democrats and Republicans alike, whereby the chairman and the vice chair of the oversight committee, Jamie Raskin, the senior Democrat on the committee, and James Comer, agree to write a letter to the president suggesting that he fire her or that she resign. Again, complete total respect to the country at large. They feel no sense of obligation to let us know what's going on. Not to mention the Congress. Not to mention the other individuals who they are guarding, the other protectees that they have. I mean, it's absolutely incredulous how this administration just doesn't care about you or me. They only care about their party. And Kim Cheadle's no different. I tried to give her the benefit of the doubt the Monday after this happened. And, you know, I regret it. I absolutely regret it. Because this is what she does. Her first public statements about this is a sit-down interview at ABC News. What? And then, to add insult to injury, her opening statement to the House Oversight Committee was released to several Democrat-supportive publications, I think four in number, prior to the House Oversight Committee members receiving their copy of SANE. The media got it 4 hours before the committee got it. Now, if that's not sending the message to the House Oversight Committee, go take a long walk on a short pier, I don't know what is. This level of disrespect and arrogance by this administration, I've never seen before. This is dangerous, what they are engaging in. You are in not a position to receive any information. They decide when you're going to get it. The media will get it before you, and the Democrat Party will get it before them. This is all about the perpetuation of the party. I've said this before. It's no different. Doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. These silly-ass games are played each and every day, and they are not responsive to us. Once we put them there, we are divorced. We are a second-class citizen. And unless we scream out at the top of our lungs that we're not going to take this anymore, it will continue. Kim Cheadle resigned this morning. I'm not sure that that makes me feel any better, though, because the arrogance and the disrespect has been exhibited here. The Biden administration took no preemptive actions. They did nothing. These are difficult decisions. I get it. I've sat in that role. I've made those decisions. I understood that I held the livelihood of employees' lives in the palm of my hands. But I also understood that if I lost the trust of the public, I'd have to work three times as hard to get it back. Doing the right thing is not always easy. In fact, more often than not, it's hard because of the impact of people's lives. But those are choices that other folks made. I mean, this director has not even visited the scene. This director waited 3 days before she had a conversation with agents that were assigned to that task. this director seemed to be, or to believe, that she was Teflon. That it didn't matter. This director chose not, the same as the president. We still haven't heard from him about when he is going to face the nation. He felt well enough to get on a phone conference about politics, but has still not informed when he is going to face the nation and say what he has to say about him deciding not to run for re-election. You know why? Because this is all about trying to offer the opportunity to Kamala Harris to get her bump. This is about the survivability of the party. This is not about any concern for the country at all. Albeit any expert will tell you that a country is most at risk during a time of transition. And if we don't believe that this is a time of transition, we are kidding ourselves. We are kidding ourselves. So I don't know about you, I'm not feeling any better. And I know this is all a big party and everything else that's going on, but you know, it's kind of interesting. I said this yesterday. Within 2 hours of the announcement that Joe Biden wasn't going to run for re-election, Hunter Biden dropped his lawsuit against Fox News. Well, guess what was released this morning? This is amazing. I do not believe in coincidences. The Justice Department told a federal judge yesterday that it found the transcripts that it previously denied having, hold on to your seats, of President Joe Biden's talks with a biographer that played a role in the recently completed criminal investigation relative to the president's handling of classified material before he became president. What did he do? He sat down with his personal biographer and shared classified material with that individual during the course of the interview for his own personal purpose and personal gain. News outlets, conservative organizations have been pounding the DOJ trying to find out where these tapes were. Everyone knew that they existed. So did Special Counsel Robert Hur. And now all of a sudden, Monday, they notify the judge, we found the tapes. We now have the tapes. You will recall in the wake of the report that Hur issued that described the president as a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory, and that's why he did not get prosecuted. Interesting. But here we are just on the eve. It's going to be interesting to see how this is going to ultimately play out, because all of the considerations and the concern about the manipulation by the right, of course, was going to place the president at risk. And the thought process was is that there was a high likelihood that he would get reelected and they would continue to have these concerns. So they had to secrete this from the public and everyone else for that reason. Well, that doesn't exist any longer. He's out. So if they're deep fakes or cheap fakes or whatever the fake they want, a head fake or whatever fake they want to talk about, the shuck, the jive, whatever, doesn't matter anymore. There's nothing at risk. There's nothing at stake. He's out. In fact, he doesn't even make appearances before the public. So what are we worried about? It'll be interesting to see whether or not these prosecutors from the DOJ are willing to walk into court and make these same arguments today, as opposed to an argument that they may have made last week. We will continue to update you as it relates to this, because I really believe that a lot of these things are going to start revealing themselves, and they're not coincidences, in my view. Feeling better? We'll be right back.